And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. And you know that prophetic word of God is found in the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Amazing prophecies. And we're going to be talking about those prophecies in coming weeks, that is. I was just reading a fantastic new book. I call it new. It's 450 years old. 450 years old, but it's by Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. And I was reading this book, and I'll tell you, I decided to publish it. You see, it's been censored and banned and all that kind of stuff by the Catholic Church, by the Vatican. They didn't want this book out, and then the Jews didn't want it out, and so it's not even in print. Well, we found a English copy, and now, for the first time, I think there's about a 30 or 40 page little tract, a booklet of it, but this is the full, you know, unedited, or it's edited, I mean, but a full version of the book. It's the first time in your lifetime you'll have a chance to read this book. It's been kept from us, friends. I found there's a lot of books like that. Undiscovered Treasures by Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. You know, the Lutheran Church, of course, is named after Martin Luther. He wrote the great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Oh, I love that song. A mighty fortress is our God. You know, he wrote a lot. He actually had a whole hymnal of songs that he wrote. But he wrote this book, and it was a great, great book. But he was talking about in Genesis. Says the scepter will not leave the hands of Jacob until Messiah comes. Actually, it says until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is a word meaning the Messiah. The scepter will not fall out of or be taken away from Israel until Shiloh comes. Well, that was in Genesis. Then in Daniel, the angel told Daniel, 70 weeks are appointed for your people. 70 weeks. Now, in biblical numerology, and time-wise, that's 7 years. A week is 7 years. You know, we consider it a 7 years. So that's 490 years. So the nation of Israel only had 490 years. That's what the angel told Daniel. And in the midst of the 70th week, in the midst of it, Messiah, the prince of of salvation, Messiah will be cut off. And he was, Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, that's in the book of Daniel. There's so much to talk about there, and we're going to be talking about it in coming weeks. But today, I'm going to start a brand new series. I'm going to start a brand new series. We're going to start talking about heresies. There are heresies in, let's call it, the field of Christianity. Entire churches. Now, some would call them cults. And in fact, I have a book here. It's a great book, if I say so myself, entitled Tex Mars, Book of New Age Cults and Religions. You know, we recently updated this book, put it out, you know, refreshed it, I guess you might say. Even put a new cover on it, a little more snazzy cover. Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions, the newest information revealed and explained. And this cult, this false religion, is a New Age group. But they've been around a long time. You know, the New Age movement is not new at all. If you read my books on it, we can trace the New Age movement all the way back to Babylon, to Egypt, And they bring all that stuff and try to give it to us today, and they try to make it look a little bit exciting with spirit channeling and pyramids and powers and all kind of silly stuff. But there are many false religions. Now, in this book, I actually show the difference between a Christian religion, a true Christianity, and a New Age religion. We're going to have a series on this because there are many in New Age. Now, they're not necessarily a church or a group. Many of them are just Christians that all believe the same thing. They believe the wrong same thing. The wrong same thing. They're all following the same people. They don't realize they are. They think sometimes they're even independent, and they're following this false heresy. So we're going to call this the heresy series. This is part one, or volume one, of the heresy series. We're going to talk about the heresy series, and I'm going to show you that all of these are part of the synagogue of Satan. Now, where's the synagogue of Satan? What does that term mean? Where did it come from? Well, that's Revelation 2 and 3. See, Jesus told the Apostle John, I'm going to write these letters to the churches. And there are seven churches. And so he wrote a letter to each one of them. Now, we won't get into that too deep, although it's a wonderful subject. Boy, I'd love to just dig into that. But you see, there were church types throughout, you know, the church world at that time, at Pergamos and, you know, different churches. And there's seven of them. And each one has a certain, you might call it destiny or feature to it, a character. Some are stronger than others. Some are very faithful. Others, not so loyal. And God has some particular things to say to each church. Now, some people say that's the church ages. As we've gone through history, each of those churches depicts or pictures a certain church age, the way it was back then. But I believe that we have churches like that right now today. Every one of those seven churches fits the kind of churches that I see. You see, there are many churches, but there's only one church. Did I just confuse you, friends? There are many churches, but there's only one church. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have faith in him, then you're already a member of the church. Oh, you forgot your church card? You didn't go down and get registered? Oh, my. You're probably going to hell then. Oh, you mean some pastor said you're not a member of his church? Oh, my, you're in real trouble. Well, look up, dear friends, because the the 12 disciples and Jesus, well, none of them had a church as such. Of course, they may not have joined a particular church, but they were in a church. They were part of Jesus Christ Network, you might say. Now we update the names there. Let's call it Network. Nah, let's not. Let's just... In fact, it says it's the Christians. They call themselves Christians first. Christians. Well, okay, today we're going to talk about a particular heretical church. And every volume of this series we go through, it's going to be one connected with the synagogue of Satan. There is a synagogue of Satan. Now, I want you to understand something. There is no mosque of Satan in the Bible. I don't know why. I guess God just didn't think it was important enough. Now, I know a lot of you are going to write to me and say, a billion Muslims, they don't believe in Jesus. And look at everything that's happening in the Middle East. What do you mean not important enough? Well, you're not going to quarrel with Jesus, are you? He warned about the synagogue of Satan. And he warned about it twice. Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Boy, he wanted you to get a hold of that knowledge, didn't he? But there's nowhere there's a mosque or a church or a, you know, I know there's a church of Satan. In various branches of it, there's a temple of Satan. And there's various churches of Satan around the world that go by different names. There's the Church of Isis, the Church of the Green Egg. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy satanic names. But there's only one synagogue of Satan. But evidently, Jesus warns about the synagogue of Satan. So you need to read that Revelation 2 and 3 to find out who he's talking about there. Maybe he's talking about Jews in the flesh, or people who say they're Jews, but they're not. And they are, however, a synagogue of Satan. They say, no, I'm of the Beth El synagogue. I'm of the King David synagogue. I'm of this synagogue in New York City or Houston, Texas. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. All I know is there is a synagogue of Satan, and it's destined for hell. And it's got very bad people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. My friends, if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. That's a holy principle that will always be true. Now, this heretical church we're going to talk about today doesn't have the Father or the Son. But they say that they believe in Jesus. They claim that they have God. They call him Jehovah. And they say that they are the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what we're going to be discussing today, the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, several years ago, my good friend Fritz Springmeier, maybe some of you know Fritz Springmeier. We offer a book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, by Fritz Springmeier. But he wrote another book, and I wish it were in print now. It's no longer in print. Maybe maybe we should contact Fritz Springmeier and see if he can publish that book, because it was an outstanding book, The Watchtower and the Masons. Now, there's two names. Neither of them seem to have anything to do with Jehovah's Witnesses. But in fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses were formed back in the late 1800s as the International Bible Students Association. That sounds like a nice group. Then they call themselves, they still call themselves, the Watchtower Tract Society. The Watchtower Tract Society. So Fred Springmeier called his book, that's not available now, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to tell you how to get the audio tape or CD of the interview that I did with Fred Springmeier, where we discussed this book and we discussed the Jehovah's Witness organization. The name of that CD or tape, by the way, and I'll give it to you more in depth later, is entitled, it's entitled, The Watchtower and the Masons, Did Freemasonry Found the Jehovah's Witnesses? Freemasonry. You may not be aware that Freemasonry has, the Masonic Lodge has founded more than one heretical church. But they have. Now, some people say that the Jews founded Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jews, heretical Jews, who despise and hate Jesus Christ, they founded it. But this faith group, this so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, say that they believe in Jesus. Well, you can't be a Jew and part of Judaic religion if you believe in Jesus. But they say they do. But do they? We'll get into that in just a moment. Now, it is based, we found, and Fritz and I concluded that. By the way, I think Fritz was once a member of this church, and he left it. He knows a lot about it. He was inside and knew the people there, this religious sect or religious cult. He says it's based on the most arcane, that means the hidden, teachings of groups like Rosicrucianism. Ancient Egyptian mysticism is involved with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Even the medieval Knights Templar, mystical Zionism, and the pyramids. What does the pyramids have to do with Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, Fritz will tell you about that. And so I interviewed him for 60 minutes. The interview of that is called The Watchtower and the Masons, and you can order that for $10 plus $5 shipping and handling. As for the CD or the tape, you can get it on audio tape, of course, either one, The Watchtower and the Masons. But let's talk today about The Watchtower and the Masons. I discuss this group on page 226 of my book, Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions, which you can obtain too. That's definitely, Jehovah's Witness is definitely a New Age cult. It's a Christian heresy. It's right in line with other New Age cults and denominational groups. Here's a reason why. They believe in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus than the Bible talks about. In fact, they have a Bible that's different than yours and mine. They call it the New World Translation. Now, I've warned you many times about these false New Age Bibles. They look good. They look real. But there's little changes, just little bitty changes. And, you know, they're quite dangerous. It's like that old song, you know, it was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Well, maybe small, but doesn't hide much, does it? Well, check out the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. I bet you'll find it in your local library. If not, you can go down to the Kingdom Hall. That's what they call the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Kingdom Hall. Ask them if you can borrow their Bible. Of course, they'll get your name and your address, and you'll be visited by all these witnesses for quite a while. You may not like that too much. Like the Mormons, they send two by two out. And they'll come and they'll be sweet to you and tell you they're a wonderful group, and you know they want you to have a copy of their Watchtower Tract Society publication, and you'll read it, and it sounds good because they say a new world is coming. Armageddon is right around the corner. But at the end of Armageddon, a new world will be here. And Jesus will bring paradise, and oh, it's so wonderful. That's what they say. Now, I, of course, have a number of false Bibles. In fact, you know, I have a couple of boxes of false Bibles out here. I always like to compare them with the real Bible, the King James Version. Now, I want to read to you John 1. Now, I told you there's just a little bitty teeny change there. But it's sort of like when I was in the Air Force, you know, and I knew missile officers. And they told me that if the calculations were not mathematically correct, that, you know, they use computers to tell the missile, the ICBM with nuclear warheads on it, where to go. And if it was off by just a little bitty, tiny, teeny bit from this side where you shoot off the missile, it can miss by miles on the other side, on the other end. Because you made a small calculation that was wrong. But it can result in a terrible incident. You know, you shoot the missile to go to, let's say, I don't know, maybe Tel Aviv. But it seems to hit Beijing, China. How did that happen? Or you aim it for Moscow and it seems to hit Nairobi, Kenya in Africa. That's not what you intended at all, is it? Well, here let's see if you can find that little bitty change, that little variation that means a whole lot in Jehovah's Witnesses. Remember now, it's their own translation. They won't even tell you who the translators were. They keep that secret. But the Bible sounds just like the King James Bible in most respects. But then there's that little bitty change here and there. Now, let's see if we can find it here. John 1, in the New World Translation, it states, quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Now, did you get that, friends? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Now, think of that and compare it with the King James Version, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Ooh, Uh-oh. There's a big difference. The New World Translation says the Word was a God, and the King James says the Word was God. Well, how many gods are there? There must be a lot of gods. And Jesus, of course, is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says in John 1, and we beheld his glory. His name, of course, was Emmanuel, God with us. He was known as Jesus, and he was God. But the New World Translation says he was a God. Now, friends, was he God or was he a God? Was he one of a whole pantheon of gods and goddesses? Apparently, the Jehovah's Witnesses want you to think that he was. So right away, you see that their version of Jesus is different than yours and mine. For you and me, we know that he is God. He was God. But they say he was a God. They took their little pen, put a little carrot in it, and just put in the word a. But you see how that little bitty changed? Has meant so, has transformed the person of Jesus Christ. He suddenly goes from being God to being a God. One of many. Ooh. That makes Jehovah's Witnesses very dangerous. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe in other heresies. They're shared by their companions in the New Age. For example, Jesus is not only a God, but he's a created God. Not only that, he's a God who is inferior to God the Father. Did you get that? He's inferior. You know, the New Age movement has a little chart. You know, in organizations, they have organizational charts. And it's arranged hierarchically. This person is president, this person is vice president, this person goes all the way down, you know. You seen those charts? Well, there's one New Age chart that has Jesus. He's sixth down on the chart. He's number six. But we as Christians know that Jesus is God. Jesus created the universe. There's nothing that you can see or touch or feel or smell or taste that he didn't create. Everything. He was with God in the beginning, and he was God in the beginning. But they say he's just a God. In fact, he's not as big. He's not as important. He's not as powerful. He's not as omniscient or omnipotent as God. That's Jehovah. He's under there somewhere. He was just like Lucifer. He was created as a god. But they say that he and Lucifer sort of headed out and fought it out, and Lucifer then rebelled, and you know the old story. The two bad sons, the two sons, one good and one bad. I guess that's sort of the way the Jehovah's Witnesses have it, in a way. Now, Jesus is not only a God, not only is he a deity or a God inferior to the God, Jehovah, but it seems that really his real name is Michael. Now, we know of the archangel Michael. Very powerful angel up in heaven. They say that Jesus' real name is Michael. They say that Michael was an angel or an archangel in heaven, and that Jesus became his name when he was sent down to earth. So that Michael is Jesus, and Jesus is Michael. So not only do they knock Jesus down to being just a God, one of the many gods, but they also say he's really just an angel. They don't pray to Jesus. How can you pray to just an angel? They pray to Jehovah. So they leave Jesus out of the loop. Now, we know that we're, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have faith in him. And as believers and people of faith in Jesus, we are born again in spirit and in truth, John 3, verse 3. We're born again. And we become heirs with Abraham and all of the saints and the prophets. We become fellow heirs with them. We share in the promises of God, which is what? Which is eternal life. Which is heavenly Jerusalem. That is our inheritance, my friends. That's what you're going to get, I guess you'd say. As a follower, as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we believe in him. But they say, well, that's not important. It's nice for you to believe in Michael or Jesus. But what you need to do is believe in God. Now, there's just these many verses. Read the books of John in the New Testament, where we are told that if you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So the Jehovah's Witness says, I have the Father, but there is no real Son. Oh, they'll even say Jesus is the Son of God, but they say there are other sons of God. Mm-hmm. So you cannot be born again in spirit and in truth because you don't have the Son. You don't have the Father and the Son. Now, we know as Christians, we also have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Spirit? Now, there are many people that get all this mixed up. I follow the Bible. That's why I never get mixed up in it. I don't get confused about the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus. Because 1 John in the Bible says there are three that bear record. And these three are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all one. Jesus said, I go to be with the Father, but the Holy Spirit will come to you after I leave, and he will speak of me, not himself. Benny Hinn, you know, the false teacher, wrote a book many years ago called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. He said every morning he woke up and he said, Good morning, Holy Spirit, and speak to the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit will speak of me. If you want to, it would be wrong, but you can talk to one of the angels. You can worship the angels. The Bible tells us not to, but you can do it. You can worship the saints. Many people do. They have little statues of saints in their cars and at their home, and they worship Saint Christopher and Saint Anne and all these things, these created beings, rather than worship Jesus directly. Wouldn't it be better just to talk to Jesus Christ? Well, not if you're a Jehovah's Witness. You've got to talk to the Father. But the Bible says you have not the Father if you don't have the Son. They have not got the Father. They don't have anyone. They're poor. They're misled. They have an imitation religion. And we must pity them for that. And so they don't believe in being saved, born again. They believe in working for their reward. Work, work, work. That's what they do. Work, 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 work. Not because they want to, not because they love it, not because they believe in Jesus Christ and they're so faithful to him and they're wrapped up and he's their friend and their loved one and they that's what we Christians do. No, they work. They work for Jehovah. Believing that through these works, hopefully, they can't know for sure. When they die, they don't know for sure, but hopefully, they'll receive paradise. Hopefully. But my friends, you can know. The Bible says you can know on this side of destiny. In this lifetime, you can know you're a Christian headed for heaven. You can know. Don't be in question. Don't let yourself get all wrapped up in works. Do them out of love, not out of a need for work. Now let's take a moment's break, and I'll be back in just a minute and tell you more about the heresy that is called Jehovah's Witnesses, which is part of the synagogue of Satan. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. I told you that I had done an interview with Fritz Springmeier. It's a classic interview, a great one, entitled The Watchtower and the Masons. Did Freemasonry Found the Jehovah's Witnesses? You know, we look, Fritz and I looked at Judge Russell, Charles T. Russell, one of the founders of Freemasonry. Well, he was a Freemason, but one of the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And there was a Judge Rutherford, Charles Russell and Judge Rutherford. He also was one of the early pioneers of the church, this Jehovah's Witnesses cult. And he, too, was a Freemason. And they founded this as a Masonic cult. And it has all the trappings and symbols of Freemasonry, as well as those of Zionism. It's a Zionist Freemasonic cult. Now, this audio tape is 60 minutes. You can ask for it in CD. Be glad to send it to you. And it's very important here for you to know about Jehovah's Witnesses, because at any moment, a couple of them could be knocking at your door. And they could be telling you things that sound so real. And if you said to them, do you believe in Jesus? They would say, oh, yes. Do you believe he's coming again? Oh, he's going to come again. See, you're thinking about the Jesus of the Bible. They're thinking about Michael the Archangel. That's their Jesus. Oh, my friends, there are over 10,000 Jesuses in this world, aren't there? But there's only one true and reliable Jesus Christ. And he's certainly not found in the Jehovah's Witnesses cult. Now, I want you to have this CD or audio tape. Specify which one you want for $10. And please send $5 shipping and handling, and we'll get it right to you. Just ask for the CD or audio tape, The Watchtower and the Masons, with Tex Mars and Fritz Springmeier. Now, at the same time, we have our excellent book on New Age Cults and Religions. It's $20. It's over, I think, 350 pages. And in this book, we cover over 100 of the major New Age cults and religions. You know, I love this book because it's so diverse. You learn about the Church of Urantia, the Rosicrucians, the Druids, the Enochians, the Lucis Trust, Theosophy, Unity, Scientology, UFO societies, Freemasonry, the Planetary Commission, Mormonism, the Church of Wicca or Witchcraft. All of these groups are included in Tex Mars's book of New Age Cults and Religions. You know, I was recently reading a review of this book on Amazon.com. The book is offered there, and the gentleman says, you know, I thought Tex was just a whack. I thought he was a crazy man. I thought all of his books were. And one day he said, I was in a bookstore and I came across a book called Tex Mars's Book of New Age Cults and Religions. I thought, oh, this, that's just another made-up book of silliness. So he said, it was half price. He said they had it on sale half price. So I bought it just as a lark. But I took it home and I found it's the very best book in the whole world that I've got. And I learned about these horrible groups, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Rosicrucians, Freemasons. And there's no other book like it. And the thing is, he said, Tex Mars takes all of their own literature. Tex has gone to each one of these groups and said, what do you believe? And then he's told us. You know, you're not going to find it anywhere else. I mean, I asked these groups, what do you believe in? And you know, they revealed themselves to me. They said, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they said, we don't believe that Jesus is God. He's not the God that the Christian world believes in. And they said, we're separate from Christianity. They're a different group. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's what they told me. Jesus is a lesser God, if he's a God at all. Well, the Church of Wicca, they told me they believe in the earth as a goddess and a god. The earth, Mother Earth. In their own words, they condemn themselves. I just report. Well, I hope you get this book, Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions. Anyway, that particular writer said that he doesn't doubt me anymore. He knows that these things are true. And now he understands why I wrote those other books. You know, Dark Secrets of the New Age and such. $20 for this book on New Age cults and religions. Just $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling again. Total of $25. Ask for the book, New Age Cults and Religions. And we'll send it right to you. And by the way, we're talking today about pages 226 through 229, where I briefly discussed the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, get the audio tape or CD, The Watchtower and the Masons, for $10, or get New Age Cults and Religions for $20, and add $5 for each for shipping. Here's how to do it. Write to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Or you can even put my name in it. Don't misspell my name, many do. Tex Mars, T-E-X-E. A little play on letters there. T-E-X-E-M-A-R-R-S.com. And you can buy this book, this audio tape or CD online and get it today, plus all of our other products. Or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And now let's return to our regular program. And we are talking about a heresy which calls itself the original Christian church. Oh, yes. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses put out a little brochure. Pretty interesting. It's called, What Do Jehovah's Witnesses Believe? Now, I know that groups like this may lie, but they seem to tell the truth. Yeah, I accept what they say. Let me read to you exactly what they say in their own publication, What Do Jehovah's Witnesses Believe? They say this. They say, quote, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God is greater than Jesus. Thus, we do not believe that Jesus is equal with the Father. Rather, we believe that he was created by God and that he is subordinate to God. But Jesus Christ will be the king of God's government, but not the only king. He will have many co-rulers with him in heaven. He's not going to be. There's going to be a king of God's government, but it won't be Jesus. I mean, he'll be only one of many. Remember I told you, a God? He'll have many co-rulers with him. I don't know, maybe Muhammad is one. Maybe Buddha's another one. I'm not sure exactly about that. Well, one thing we know is that they don't believe in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And I love this verse, friends. I mean, this is the one, this is like my, would you call it my acid test? I mean, you know, when you're trying to see if something is gold or it's fool's gold, here's something to apply. Here's a good test. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, that the name of Jesus is above all other names. The name of Jesus. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I mean, that alone puts the Jehovah's Witnesses and these other cults way out in left field, doesn't it? Think about that. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee? How about the knee of Satan? Oh, yes. He will bow. Every knee will bow. How about these people out there, like the comedian, Kathy Griffin. She says, suck it, Jesus. Yeah, well, This foul-mouthed girl will be on her knee. She will bow. She may be on her way to hell. I don't know, but she's going to bow before Jesus. In fact, the entire synagogue of Satan will be prostrate. I mean, they'll be laid low. They're going to actually bow down to Christians. Does that sound so crazy? Unreasonable? It's true. Jesus will make them bow down at your feet. And they will know that you are the chosen of God, my friends, as Christians. The synagogue of Satan will be forced to bow down before Christians. Because God hath given Jesus a name above all others. That's why so often these false cults try to tear down the name of Jesus. They write me letters. They say, the name Jesus, that came from such and such. And then I was reading Martin Luther in his book on the lies of the Jews recently. And he said, you know, many Jews call Jesus Jehu or Yehu, J-E-H-U. And you think, oh, they know Jesus. They call him Yehu. But Yehu has a meaning in Hebrew that's not very nice. So you're there talking, the rabbi's calling him Yehu, Yehu. You think he's saying Jesus, but he's not. He's blaspheming. He's a blasphemer. He's blaspheming the name of Jesus. Talking with you. But every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses say that they are the 12 tribes. You can't be a member of the 12 tribes unless you're one of them. Now they believe that the 12 tribes is sort of it's not really true that they're going to be actual Jews as such. But God's going to pick his favorite 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're going to be the heavenly government. Now, don't worry. If you don't make that 144,000, you can be the holy witnesses that are down here in heaven, or on earth, excuse me. You see, there's going to be a heavenly government and a world government. That's the earth. So you may not be good enough. Maybe your works didn't qualify you to become part of the heavenly government. And of course, when you get there, Jesus won't be Lord. He will be a co-ruler with other co-rulers. The 144,000 will be there, but there will be many hundreds of thousands down here below on this planet. And this will be sort of the planet of God, and that'll be heavenly God. So we're still going to have earth and heaven, but the 144,000 will rule from heaven. But now, it takes a lot to get to be one of the 144,000. You're going to have to work very, very hard. Very hard to be there. Now, let's talk some more about Jehovah's Witnesses. First of all, if you attend church there, it's sort of a scary thing because they don't have any windows. Now, I don't know, maybe somewhere they have it, but I've never seen a Kingdom Hall that had any windows, which sort of brings up the question, what do they do there? Are they so secret that they don't want anybody to look inside the windows and see what's going on? I don't know. There's something strange about buildings that have no windows, don't you think? I do know that there have been a lot of sex scandals, allegations of child abuse and things. And they've covered up a lot of that stuff. They got a lot of trouble for it and had to pay out quite a bit of money. They have their own translation of the Bible, the New World Translation. They won't even tell you who were the translators. They say themselves that they're an organization. An organization. And they are a hierarchical. Sort of like the Roman Catholics. You see, they have the headquarters level. Now, where's the headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses? It's in Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, New York. That's interesting, isn't it? Brooklyn, New York. Now, Brooklyn, New York turns out to be almost the Jewish capital of planet Earth. I mean, there are Jews everywhere in the Crown Heights area of Brooklyn. That's where the Jews seem to hang out. They like New York City a lot, but that's where the Jews are. That's where you're going to find the Jehovah's Witnesses. How many members does it have? Oh, they claim about 1 million. Some people say they only have about 600,000. But some say they have 3 or 4 million. So it's very hard to figure out exactly how many. Let's just say about 1 million. Now, I told you that they have two witnesses that go and speak to people, knock on your door and ask if you have time, and then try to arrange to meet you. And so you're faced with these two people. And they're going to tell you what's what, of course. Now, if you don't agree with them, if you have questions that they can't answer, they go back and get somebody that's stronger than them. They go back and they get a person from their local kingdom hall that knows more than they do. So they'll come back three people or four people or five, whatever it takes to overcome you. Now, they're not going to tell you you must be born again, because they don't really believe in that. Now, this is the one thing that I've noticed. You know, I was talking with a lady and her husband who were Jehovah's Witness. And they worked so hard until they were in their mid-40s as a Jehovah's Witness. They were raised in that cult. And they said they never really knew, no matter how hard they worked. They were so successful, they actually were called to the headquarters level. And they met all the big wigs of the church and all that in Brooklyn, New York. But nobody working, even in the headquarters, which is like an infallible group, nobody could say, I'm headed to heaven. Nobody could say they were of the 144,000. They ask about it. Could we be part of the 144,000? And their elders would say, well, maybe, but you have to keep working. You have to keep working. And maybe you'll make it. After you're dead, then you'll know. Then you'll have the judgment and God will judge you. You won't know till then. She said, we were miserable. We were worried all the time. We didn't know whether we were going to go to heaven or maybe we would be annihilated. You see, they believe that certain people will be killed. They don't really believe in hell. Oh, that's a terrible belief, that hell. Oh, no, there is no hell. If you're bad, you're just annihilated. You're destroyed. They didn't want to be destroyed. They wanted to be, you know, witnesses. They don't use the term Christians, although they will use that with you. If you ask Jehovah's Witness, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, but they're not. They can't be. They don't believe in Christ. How can they be Christian? Well, they're even told that Christians are headed for hell. Christians are wrong. Christians are of the devil. Stay away from the devil, they're told. Now, if you argue with them too much, they're going to put you down as a bad seed, a bad person. You're a devil. They'll go to easier fields. They'll go to other homes. I've met some people that tell me they just like to argue. They say, when I see a Mormon coming to my door or a Jehovah's Witness, I invite them in quickly. And I can outcome them. I show them the Bible and I prove to them that they're wrong. Now, friends, that seems to me a little bit pompous. That's okay if you're really good, you really know your Bible, and you're convinced. But you know, the devil gives these people some powers. I'm sure some of them have powers from the devil. And they know the Bible too, and they will misuse and mistranslate, and they will use verses from the New World Translation. It sounds just like the real thing, and they'll tie you in knots sometimes. So you make sure that you have the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk some more about this. I told you that a man named Charles Taze Russell was the founder, and then a Judge Rutherford also was the founder. Let's see what they believe. You see, they don't have a personal relationship with Christ, who they say is not God, but they have a system of law and works, just like the Jews do. The Jews don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in a loving God who will save you through himself, through faith in him. They say Jehovah is God. And Jesus came along and he was just a human. And when he died, physically he was dead. But his spirit was recreated and today lives in heaven. In other words, they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, they say that they've had false prophecies over the years. They say they're a prophetic organization. For example, did you know that 1914, they had taught for years that 1914 would become the last day on earth, the end of the world, 1914. And people were very excited. And they attracted hundreds of thousands of followers back then who believed that 1914 would mean the end of the world. But 1914 came and went. Now the church said, what are we going to do about this? We told everybody it was the end of the world, 1914. But it didn't happen. So they invented this story that Jesus had come again. But he returned invisibly. Jesus was here, but he was invisible. He really did come, just like the church said. And now he is working through his organization to reestablish Jehovah's kingdom over the earth. Now, friends, when a man or an organization tells you that Jesus is going to come again, and they name the year, you know, there have been many people to do that, and it doesn't happen, you got to believe they're false prophets. The Bible says that. If a man pray and preach that, you know, I'm not going to tell you that Jesus is coming again. And if I do, I'm going to make sure that God told me. I remember back in the year 2000, remember we had Y2K and all of that? I said, well, the government says we're going to have problems. Maybe we should stock a little food, a little dry food. Maybe we should prepare a little bit. Some people went out and bought generators. They were worried their electricity was going to be cut off. Not a bad idea. A lot of people bought some medicines and stored it up. That's good. Canned foods, yes, absolutely. I believe you should do that all the time. Be ready for tornadoes, hurricanes, bad weather, flooding, all of these things. Be ready. But I never said because Jesus is coming back. In fact, when man makes a date, I say, boy, there's a good reason not to prove, not to believe it. He's coming back next year. Yeah, well, don't believe it. There are books out there right now that talk about these blood moons. There's so many blood moons, and it's never been like this since the days of Jesus. That means that Jesus is coming back. We're on the very threshold of time. But Jesus said, no man knows except your Father in heaven. Nobody knows the exact day and hour but the Father in heaven. But we can know the season. I can tell you, boy, all these things are occurring just like the Bible said. We must be getting very close to the end. That's acceptable. I understand that. But if I told you, oh, it's close to the end, Jesus Christ is going to come on December 21st, you know, 2014. Well, you can just write me off, friends. Don't even listen to text marks anymore. Because Jesus said nobody's going to know except the Father in heaven. Now, they said he would come in 1914. When he didn't come, they invented this story. They said, well, yeah, he did come, but he came invisibly. And he's here. Now he's leading the world. He's leading the Jehovah's Witnesses organization. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus is somewhere in the organization, invisibly leading it. Now, they also named the year 1975. Since 1914 didn't work out, then they came up with the year 1975. And the Jehovah's Witnesses worked very, very hard to bring 1975 to pass. And I remember it, 1960s, 1970s. I talked to some Jehovah's Witnesses then that said, we have to work very hard. We have to reach many people for Jehovah because the world is going to end in 1975. Well, 1975 came and it went. We're still here. And you know what? I understand that several hundred thousand people departed. They deserted Jehovah's Witnesses in 1975. But leave it to the old Jehovah's Witness organization to come up with new theories. And I guess the world didn't end, but I mean, you know, Various factors intervened, right? The world didn't end in 1975.
Boy.
Now, they say that if the end of the world does come, and you're a Jehovah's Witness, you will survive Armageddon. And then where will you live? You won't go to heaven unless you're one of the 144,000. But if you're a faithful Jehovah's Witness, you will live in the new world. The new world, which is what? Well, it's the same as the old world. Earth, but maybe a little bit better. It's sort of become a utopian place. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, friend, let me, please, believe me. Christ's death on the cross is not sufficient for salvation. That makes him a cult right there. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That was enough for our salvation. He only died one time. I know in the Catholic Mass you sacrifice over and over again. The sacrifice, every day, you know, you have another sacrifice of the Mass. But the Bible says for one time he gave himself a ransom for us. Well, and if you believe in him, friends, there is no hell. But believe me, you will not be annihilated. Believe me, you won't get a second chance. No one will. But right now is your opportunity if you believe in him. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they miss the mark because they don't know who the Savior is. And this couple that I told you about earlier, they were desperate. They wanted to know about Jesus. Who really was Jesus? Was he this Savior who died on the cross for their sins? Because their church, the Jehovah's Witnesses, said, oh no, he's not. He's a God. He's not even God. Don't believe that stuff. But you know, they didn't change the Bible enough. Even their New World Translation still has that quote in Philippians. There's still enough there, even though they took out a lot of the Bible. They left too much in. And so, Christians showed this couple, well, here's where it is in your own Bible. Jesus is Lord. They read their own Bible and said, well, it's true. Now today, they don't pay any attention to the New World Translation. They believe in the King James Bible. I'm telling you, though, my friend, this is a false cult, the Jehovah's Witness. It was founded by Masons, like Charles Taze Russell. He was a pyramidologist. That's what he called himself. And that's why you see the pyramid in all these ancient Babylonian artifacts and symbols in the Jehovah's Witness Church. My friends, if you want a watchtower, read the Bible. Then you'll know that this is a heresy. But there is the truth. There is that name above all names, and that name is Jesus. Hey, it's been great being with you today, and we've exposed a great heresy. Now you'll know what to tell those Jehovah's Witnesses. Tell them you don't really want to believe in Michael, the archangel. You'll just hold on to that Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Remember, folks, tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.